Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Everett, we're the Unhallowed Reviewers.
That's us. I shot a little gun there at the beginning. I don't know if you heard that.
It was like a little finger gun. You did? No, I heard it. It was like while I'm doing my intro. It was kind
of
rude.
I was trying to in front of it. I mean, if you didn't try to talk over me the whole time, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Leaping all over each other. That's fine. You know what?
Hot.
That's fine.
Super hot. So we're here to talk about some horror stuff this week.
What?
And yeah, that's what we're here for.
I'm not prepared for that.
First and foremost, I'd like to mention that we do have a new writer on their site. The final girl, I believe what we're calling her. Yes, that's right. And she's on a journey to find a movie that actually scares her. And so she's going to be writing as from the perspective of kind of like a new horror movie person, watching horror movies, immersing themselves in the culture of horror without having any real big previous experience. So if you know people who are new to horror or who want to get into it, the reviews that she writes might be really appropriate for people who are kind of trying to see if this is for them. Also, it's really funny and ranty, and yeah, I hope you enjoy it if you read it.
Yeah, and yes, we're glad to have that person on board. Apparently, she's got thicker skin than we do, because she's not fazed at all by movies that I find quite terrifying.
Exactly, which is the best part. She's the final girl. She survived everything.
It's true.
So, but we're going to start talking about some movies that Sickle watched that he didn't have much to say about, besides all the shit he's going to talk about them.
Yeah, so there's this movie on Shudder right now. I'm pretty sure it's a Shudder exclusive, called The Marshes, and it was the hot, steaming garbage, and I was very unhappy with it. So, I feel like the main reason that I was upset by it was that it just made itself sound like it was going to be more like a sci-fi horror type movie.
The Marshes? It's not even like... It sounds like it's like a movie about like some marshes. Like, not sci-fi at all.
No, you gotta read the, well, because, like, it depends on your definition of sci-fi, I guess.
Well, I have to judge a book by its cover, right?
What's that?
I have to judge a book by its cover.
Well, yeah, and the cover is more, is more along the lines of what you're going to experience than the synopsis that I read.
Fair enough.
But, like, it's basically talking about, like, you know, this, like, marshland that's on the verge of extinction, and there are these scientists that are going in to, like, test everything, and, like, they're, like, running tests on all of, like, the bacteria and all this sorts of stuff that's going on in there, and then like their fear is manifest in the form of a horrifying evil and all this, and it's like, oh cool, like what happens with like the, you know, the dying marshes, like does something crazy come out from that? And like, so I was kind of expecting that, or hoping for that, I should say. And when the movie starts, it really heads in that direction. It's like, you know, it's really breaking down like their bacteria and like the microorganisms and like all the stuff that they're studying, and then all of a sudden it's just like, oh wait, no, slasher movie. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's fine. But then it just drags on and on and on and won't stop being the worst, and it's just not, I don't know, it was cliche slasher at its best, and at its worst it was just this mundane, I'm walking in circles in a marshland and crying about it.
That sounds really boring, and you definitely made me not want to watch that movie at all.
Yeah, it was terrible. I was not a fan. And I'm not the only one.
Is there anything cool about it at all? Or is it like straight up Krampus level?
Like even the violent, you know, the gore scenes or whatever, like where he's like slashing people up, it's like, so you're like closely shot, it feels like I'm watching like a really poorly done impression of a Jason Bourne fight.
I was gonna say thing. It's like, sounds like it's a Jason Bourne fight.
Yes, yeah, which I hate those fights, and I think people that like those movies it's fine. You can like them. Okay, all right. Let's move on. I don't like them. You can like them.
Well, another movie that you don't like, which is starting to stack a gigantic list this year already, is The Turning.
The Turning sucked.
A movie that, well, let's be real. So Sickle has had a hate streak. He's just hated movies for pretty much no good reason. And so this is another one of the like movies that I was kind of excited for. That kind of. Not it wasn't like my most anticipated, but I was like, oh cool. Some interesting stuff. Finn Wolfhard's in this. And apparently it's the worst thing since sliced bread.
Wait, what? I thought sliced bread was a good thing.
Bread makes you fat, so how good can it really be?
Well, I like bread. But, yeah, it was just, like, okay. So, The Grudge was completely unoriginal, and I
formed okay, we're not going to have that conversation again. You get to talk about The Turning now.
And The Turning was even more so, even less eventful, and predictable, and just hot garbage. And then it just, like, right at the end, it decides to throw this twist on you that is somewhat set up early on in the film, but lazily executed. Like, if any attempt to achieve this twist was done like a high schooler trying to make a pet project for his, you know, for his little graphic design filmmaking class. And it was just
Wait, hold on. Does that mean that you're saying that it was like a badly like CG'd thing? Or does that mean that you were saying it's like just somebody who was in high school thinking about a movie? Like, what does that mean?
You're right. I shouldn't have brought up graphic design. I just meant filmmaking. So like it's not a visual execution. I mean, it is partly a visual execution because visually you're not understanding how this is supposed to make sense, and it's just like a twist for twist's sake. It's so hard to explain just like how poorly executed it is.
Let's take a step here. I'm gonna say spoilers ahead because I actually want to know what is so terrible about this. So if you're gonna watch The Turning, go watch it, come back here later, we'll wait for you. We won't wait, we're just gonna pause it. But
yeah, just pause it.
Let's go. So, okay.
From my perspective,
what this movie's about is it's about a maid who goes to take care of some kids. Their parents aren't there, but they have like a grandma or something, or somebody in the house already, and the kids are pretty creepy, and assumingly there's like a ghost of a mom or somebody in there that's doing some stuff, and I assume the lady he gets attacked by the ghost of the mom at some point and then has to survive and probably doesn't.
Okay, so you've got a pretty good idea of the plot. So the plot...
Yes!
Now, if you go back and read the novella or even just a little synopsis of the novella, it's somewhat accurate on the, like, build-up, but then it just kind of like, what the initial plot is, but then it just kind of goes off the deep end into its own direction, sort of. It basically tries to imply the motivations of, like, the ghosts and stuff. And certain things away from where the novella went, or not necessarily away, but just like there are a lot of people that feel like the novella was very ambiguous, and so they tried to like pull it in their own directions. So she shows up, and the part of the problem is that like this movie doesn't really, or the setting doesn't really translate into modern times very well. So she becomes this kind of, like, live-in nanny, but the kids already kind of have this live-in nanny maid.
She's an au pair. Okay, they have a nanny, someone who's, like runs the house, and then they have the au pair who takes care of the kids specifically.
It's just weird, because this lady has, like, a very specific way of the way that she wants the kids taken care of. She won't let this lady actually do anything. And so it just makes no point for her to be there. Like, this lady's just, like, micromanaging her to the worst degree. And so she's trying to, like, you know, take care of the kids. And, you know, lo and behold, these, like, ghosts slowly, gradually start to make themselves aware. Because ghosts always slowly, gradually make themselves aware. I don't know why that's a thing. And so she just, like, slowly, you know, and the kids are creepy for no good reason. They're just like, oh, look, this one, I'm friends with this one, and this one's nice, and bad, this one's mean. And you're just, okay, I get it. We've seen this 100 times before. And the kid is like, the boy is like sort of possessed, but sort of just acting out. And like, he's the biggest, like, little kid dick since friggin' the kid from The Babadook that everybody hates and wants to punch him in the face. And that you're just so annoyed with him. And like, there's this scene where he's just banging on drums, and you're like, I can tell that the director wants it to be scary, but all it is just infuriating because you just want her to punch the kid in the face.
That's all you want her to do. Annoying. Take away his drumsticks or hurt
him. Yes. Yes, I just couldn't stand it. Anyways, so this whole thing's building to like the supernatural, paranormal experience and everything, and then all of a sudden she looks at these paintings and she magically, I've ruined it. Okay, so there's a this is like when you have to go back and explain the joke because you messed up the punchline. Sure. So at the very beginning of the movie, the lady visits her mom in a psych ward before she goes to the house to do the ghost thing. Okay. And she's just talking to her mom in the psych ward. And her mom paints. And she's like, hey, I'm going to this place to work on this stuff. Love you. And her mom's like, meh, I don't know. I don't care. I'm in a psych ward. I'm freaking out here. And she's like, okay. And then she goes off. So that there's no other contact with the mom other than that. Then all of a sudden, at the very end of the movie, the nanny lady's like, hey, your mom sent you some paintings in the mail. And so she opens up the mail thing and she's looking at the paintings. And then there's like a scene where there's like there's a climax where you think a climax is happening. And all of a sudden it cuts back to her looking at these paintings and she's imagined all of the climax. And then she's not in the house at all. The house has never existed. She's back in the psych ward with her mom. Her mom turns around. You don't see her mom's face. You don't see anything. Then she starts screaming and it cuts to black.
What?
Yes.
So they basically what they did is they took the whole like it's the whole thing is a dream and mixed it with like Secret Window and to make something even more terrible than either of those two.
Yeah, from what I can tell, there's no direct correlation ever at all between the mom at the beginning and the ending. In the sense of, like, the paintings, like, bringing the paintings together or anything like that. They're so far separated, and there's no, like, any good metaphors or symbolism in the middle of, like, the kids representing something, and you're like, oh, crap, the little girl is her when she was younger, or
wait.
The ghost is this and that.
Is that what it's trying to imply?
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. Okay. It doesn't imply any of that. It just makes it to where the entire movie is a complete waste, because she's apparently crazy. But it also doesn't establish fully that she is crazy. It's just this really crappy ending.
So my question is like, what the heck is it called The Turning for? Like, what does that even mean?
Well, the reason it's called The Turning is based on the book, The Turning of the Screw. So it's just called The Turning because the original novella was called Turning of the Screw. And I don't know why it's called Turning of the Screw, so I can't really solve that question for you. The only time that there's anything even remotely about that is the mom at the beginning is, like, painting, and she's making sort of a spiral. And as you're looking at it, you're like, is that a spiral? Is that supposed to be the screw? And then it cuts away, and that's the only time you ever even remotely mention that.
All right, we spent way too much time on this movie for how bad it sounds, so I'm going to forcefully move us on.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
All right, well, don't go see The Turning. It sounds terrible, and it's going to make my top 10. So, the next movie we saw, which I thought was pretty great. We got to see a showing of The Color Out of Space by Richard Stanley in Spectrevision, starring Nick Cage and some other people that I don't know the names of. But really what the exciting part is that we're potentially getting a Lovecraft universe of movies. And this movie, I'll get into what I really liked about this movie, but it's not going to be, I definitely don't think this movie is necessarily for everybody. I think it has a place in anybody's, like, repertoire of movies that they might watch, but I don't think everybody's going to get the same thing out of this movie, which is the dumbest thing to say ever, because that's how movies work. But, as a Lovecraft fan, I thought this movie was fantastic. Like, it was so cool.
I agree completely. I thought that from a Lovecraft perspective, it really nailed it on the head of what it would be like. About as good of a visual representation as you can get. Mm-hmm. Of Lovecraftian horror, and I feel like eventually you reach a state of a paradox when you're trying to adapt Lovecraftian lore and horror to film because of the unseen horror aspect, the it's so horrifying and terrifying and incomprehensible that it drives you insane. Like, that's hard to visually express. And so the best attempt that you can take is all that I ask for. I mean, it's just an admirable attempt, and I think this movie did a great job of, like, trying to be as respectful as possible to the material, but also give the audience something to visualize and experience. And yeah, I think this movie definitely did that. It's, yeah, it was, I mean, it's insane. So much of it's just chaos and, like, incoherent at times, and the characters are doing inexplicable things, but it's also not incoherent dribble, like The Turning, where it's not, where it just seems, like, completely out of place and not on purpose. It feels very purposeful, like the chaos has a purpose. We're driving to a point where it makes sense, and I think that it did a really good job of that.
Yeah, and so, like, a lot of the, like, stuff that happens in it is kind of connected, I guess, is the way. Like, it all seems to make sense from a perspective. Like, and the idea that, and it, I thought it took the story Color Out of Space, which is kind of, you know, anytime you read Lovecraft, you have to kind of be like, understand that, like you said, taking it into a movie is not really easy to do. A lot of this story specifically is about the journey that the family went on, but not through their eyes. So that was kind of a little thing they got to do through the movie that was nice, is like kind of show that crazy journey through their eyes instead of the guy, the narrator, who is in the movie still, but he's not the center point of the story necessarily. And that made it really interesting, because not often do you get to experience Lovecraft that way. Like, a story of Lovecraft that doesn't have the main narrator having all the bad stuff happen to them that way, right? Like, usually Lovecraft stories will either be, like, the narrator's front and center, or the narrator is adjacent, right? So, like, The Reanimator, and, like, The Darkness Above, I can't remember the story, but, like, a lot of these are, like, the person is having somebody who they know go through stuff, and they're kind of trying to tell people about it, and then at the end they come up with some big, like, against some big kind of cosmic horror thing. And the other stories are directly, like, The Rats in the Walls, the painting, The Witch House, stuff like that, is just all about the person involved. Like, it's all about them. So this movie did a really cool job of taking a story that wasn't necessarily about the main character and turning it into a story about two groups of people, like the main family having bad stuff happen and the person who's, like, narrating the whole story.
Yeah, it does a really good job of laying out a plausible scenario involving an entity or force that destroys all sense of understanding of reality. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's cool in that sense. I did have one tinge of a complaint in the pacing. I was hoping for it to be able to move, or that it would move a little bit faster than it did, to get a little bit, even if it retained its gradual process, that a few more freaky things would have been happening along the way, because we already have established an hour into the film that the family is losing its sense of reality and understanding, and, you know, their reasonable cognitive processes, they're no longer functioning fully. So we've already established that. So having the freaky things in there faster, earlier, sprinkled in a little bit more often, I don't think hurts the overall product. So I would have, it just in theory, in my head, I'm picturing it that way. So I would have liked it if it was paced a little bit faster.
I think personally, if they tried to do something like that, it might have felt a lot more forced. And I do think that the pacing was a little slow, but I'm also attributing that to the fact that it was late, and that seeing movies that late as an adult demon is sometimes hard, because even demons need sleep. So
it's true. Yeah, it is important to maintain, like, context on that, because the last thing that we see on Sunday at Telluride Horror Show better be fast-paced and quick-moving.
And not the watch. That's why Sickle hates
it's
the watch.
True. It's true. I'm willing to put some context onto that of why I hated that movie so much. I didn't hate it, but why I didn't enjoy it as much as a lot of other people have. Is probably because it was one of the last ones we saw there, and it definitely doesn't provide a lot of energy.
Yeah, I think if you were watching Sigla and I watch that movie at Telluride, you would have seen two different people. Like, one person who was, like, trying to stay engaged but having trouble, and one person who's, like, on the edge of their seat. But anyway, it's good. You should go see it if you have a chance, because it's fucking fantastic. So my next question is going to be to you. What do you think? Do you think this is this movie hasn't been made, well, it's been made before, but it hasn't been made in that kind of, like, classic Lovecraft style with, like, the Reanimator from Beyond, the Mouth of Madness. Do you think this is, like, a modern take on that kind of style of movie, or do you think it's its own thing?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I feel like it does actually, to me, correlate a lot with, like, Mouth of Madness, in the sense that it's got this quirkiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
On top of it,
specifically around Nicolas Cage, almost.
Yes, and like his performance, it actually did remind me quite a bit of like Sam Neill's performance at the, you know, in parts of in the Mouth of Madness. Like I'm getting that same, I get that kind of same vibe, mm-hmm. Where they just ham it up and like it's purposeful. We've seen both of those guys do roles where they don't do that. Nicolas Cage less so in recent memory, yeah. But that it's. Yeah, I would say that like it's felt a lot like a modernized version of that kind of approach to Lovecraftian horror. I do think it does stand on its own in the sense that it took more it took more risks.
Yeah. I have a little quorum with the way you said that, the Lovecraftian horror versus a Lovecraft horror movie, cuz we usually refer to Lovecraftian horror as stuff like Underwater or something like Event Horizon, but this isn't just Lovecraftian horror, this is Lovecraft horror. Like, it is straight up a Lovecraft story, right? It's not, like, it's not oozing with Lovecraft feel, or, like, vaguely referencing Cthulhu, like, Underwater. This is legit one of his stories, but, like, sorry, 2 cents, like, because I really want to make it a point that, like, it goes into my next thing, like, they're actually doing a universe here, and it's going to be cool if they are able to establish that. But from the perspective of the question I asked, I think you're dead on. Like, they took it, and they took more risks with it. They made it far more of a, like, I think a film that will stand the test of time, if you will, a little bit, in terms of, like, not just being cheesy because it's, like, so bad, but it's, like, got scenes in it that are bad, but not, like, all bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually do agree with you with that. I don't have I feel like like legit Lovecraft adaptations don't happen very often. That yeah. It's just second nature to say Lovecraftian.
Oh yeah.
But I do agree with you. There is a difference, and this is definitely more of a Lovecraft horror adaptation than Lovecraftian. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And so finish this thought off, so we can talk about Processor and some other stuff. I think that Spectrevision did a great job with their first movie. Richard Stanley did awesome, and I kind of want to go back and watch some of his other movies that were flops, which I'm supposed to do because I need to watch The Island of Dr. Moreau. And woo! They're going to do the Dunwich Horror next, which is awesome. So they've already established there's an Arkham, there's a Miskatonic University, they're in the wilds of Massachusetts, or Maine or something like that, somewhere on the coast, I don't remember, I'm an idiot. But they've already built the universe, they've already done all the references and stuff, it's all there. Now the second movie it's going to be great. Like, they have the potential to do, like, a Marvel-style thing here. Like, so we could see some pretty crazy stuff come out of Spectrevision if we get lucky, you know?
Yeah, it'd be awesome if they kept heading in this direction. It would be unprecedented because Lovecraft horror in this sense is rarely done at all, let alone a, like, anthology-ish, like, or universe setup kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty impressive if they committed to it. But yeah, here's hoping that
just
they
following up on the decade of cinema universes created. So hopefully it'll work. But go see The Color Out of Space if you can. It's worth trying to drive somewhere to see it, I think, if you like Lovecraft. It's also awesome.
And also in regards to Richard Stanley and the movies that we were referencing, Hardware is the first one. That's a cult classic that a lot of people have seen of his. But then there's the debacle that is The Island of Dr. Moreau. And as I recommended to Ifrit, you also need to watch the documentary on it. I actually looked it up. It's called Lost Soul. And it's on Amazon Prime right now for freezies on their streaming service, if you have it. So go check that out. I even actually recommended to Ifrit to watch the documentary first and then watch the actual movie, and just get a different take on it than I could have ever had, because I saw the movie first and was like, I'm missing something. This movie must be an art form. And then I go back and watch the documentary and realize that, no, this is a complete debacle. And so it's interesting to enjoy it from that perspective.
So the next thing we're going to talk about is a movie that I'm going to let Sickle hit on a little bit. It's Yeah, I'm going to let you just talk about this. Why don't you introduce us?
Okay, so there is this movie coming out called Possessor I don't know when it's coming out. It just hit the festival circuit early on here in the year. But it's been, reviews have been dropping on it quite a bit lately. It is a Brandon Cronenberg movie, so son of David Cronenberg, who is essentially the father of body horror, and introduced us to a lot of fun, gruesome horror movies out there. So Brandon picks up where his dad left off and just drops the body horror gore onto us with this movie that sounds more like kind of a Scanner's route of that, like that style of like horror and gore than like, say, you know, The Fly. It's more that route. So like the plot follows this organization of sorts that uses like assassins that use basic technology to like, or what I would, not basic, but crude technology to inhabit the minds of other people to have them do the killing for them. And then they go back into their own bodies again. So there's no way to trace their steps. I don't know how all of that, the inner workings of that work, but supposedly it sounds like what's happening is that there's a battle of wills in the consciousness when they go to these new people, and that it gets pretty violent and gruesome in those mind battles. And then also, of course, you've got the actual assassinations that take place. So it does sound like it would be a lot of fun. It for whatever reason, the first thing that pops into my head are like kind of some of the more violent animes that kind of involve that kind of thing. Although it's not terribly violent, but kind of Ghost in the Shell has been brought up as an example of kind of the techno thriller feel of it.
I mean, it kind of sounds like Upgrade-y a little bit, but not so much in the technology, but more just in the sense of self being removed from yourself kind of thing, and like the assassin kills and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I'd agree with that at all. Or I would agree with that a lot. Yeah, I think that it has that kind of a vibe to it. I think it's going to take it a lot further than Upgrade did, where a lot of its violence was primarily action. This feels like some of that violence might be a little bit more like psychedelic and trippy, and a little bit more paranormal, at least in its execution. Not that it is actually paranormal, but just like kind of what my first thought was, that it was going to be a kind of a Daniel Isn't Real situation, where there's this manifestation of visceral symbolism for the taking over of another consciousness. And so I think that we're in for a pretty fun, gruesome ride, and I want to see it really bad. But who knows? Who knows how long it'll be before we'll be able to see that?
Maybe if we get lucky, it'll be a Telluride.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be so cool, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'd love it.
Just another shout-out. If you haven't seen Daniel Isn't Real yet, go see it.
That's amazing.
Let's finish off talking about one last thing, and then we can talk about some of our other topics next time. But
one last thing?
That was not on purpose, but I'm glad I did it. We just heard recently that The Thing is getting a like remake, revamp type thing. Thing. God damn it. based off of not the like Who Goes There story, but the story that Who Goes There was either based on or taken from. So Who Goes There was the original like short story that The Thing was based off of. And it was a short story that was like written from a kind of like longer series in a short publication, and you can go get the Who Goes There story. It's pretty great. I mean, it's really close to like what this actual Thing movie is, in my opinion. But Frozen Hell was the book that the Who Goes There was like kind of taken from, based on slight thing, and there's a lot more to it. But they're gonna remake The Thing, I'm air quoting remake, based off of Frozen Hell instead of Who Goes There. So there's a ton of stuff that they could potentially add, and that's always really exciting.
Yeah, so my biggest question with that, I think you're more familiar with this content than I am, is it still likely to contain a similar creature?
And, oh, like, 100% execution is, of it? There's no ifs or ands or buts about it. Like, we're 100% dealing with a like alien who goes there and impersonates people and becomes abominations, as far as I remember from Who Goes There, yeah. It's not like... The story didn't tame it down. It was just a written version, you know? And the story focused a little bit... The Who Goes There story, at least, focused a little bit more on the, like... kind of like the personal aspects, but I guess the Thing movie does that as well. So, you know, it kind of focuses on the like interpersonal aspects of the crew at the station, you know?
Yeah. And I'm definitely all for pursuing that further. Cause that is actually like kind of the hidden gem of the original, I'm sorry, not the original, but the 1982 adaptation, like that the character interactions, those the dynamics between them is very subtle, and it gets tossed to the wayside because of all of the crazy, gruesome effects work. Mm-hmm. So you kind of like the first time it kind of came out, everybody was like, "Oh, this is nasty, blah blah, it's not good." But then you go back and watch it, and you're like, "Man, there's a lot of subtlety." Like you're trying to catch when you see people get infected and how well the virus is, or how well the alien is doing of like navigating everybody. And so to pursue that even further would be really interesting to me.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm excited for. It's just to see how much more they can do. And it sounds like they're not just making one movie; they're going to make like a few, which is always cool. So.
I'm all for it. Yeah. It gets to the mainland.
The mainland. All right, well, that's all we have to talk about today. We're going to talk about some other stuff next week, but thanks for listening, and see you next time.
See ya.